Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Sunday is not the day to relax.
Brent.
Yep, trying to talk.
Yep, sorry.
Because Triple M footy finishes the weekend with a bang.
You are a genius, Dave.
No, I couldn't agree more with you there, Joey.
This is the Sunday Rub.
This is going to be an absolute belter.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, welcome to the Sunday Rub. Well, we only get the best players and the biggest names on our program, of course. And this man has been doing it at a very high level for a very long time. One of the stars of the game in the midfield, and now just playing the veteran sub role beautifully for the Fremantle. It's Jager O'Meara. Hello to you, Jager.
How you going, mate? Thanks for having me.
Oh, our pleasure, mate. Nice win last night against the Bulldogs. And you look across some of these midfield numbers. 37. Caleb Sarong, who Joey handpicked, had 37 touches as well. That's an incredible performance from the engine room.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got some really important players for us in the middle of the ground. And it's good to have Shawnee Darcy back. Luke Jackson still pinch hitting in the ruck for us. And I think Caleb broke another record last night with 17 clearances. So he's going along just fine.
Congrats on the win there, Yaglet. Talk to us about your offense. A lot's been made of it over here. Internally, has it been spoken about trying to generate more goals?
Yeah, absolutely, Dave. That's an area of our game that we're trying to improve. We want to score a lot more. We've been able to hold teams to low scores, but haven't really been able to hit the scoreboard as much as we'd like. So we're doing a lot of work on that. I think our game stems from our contest and our team defense, firstly. We're trying to improve in our offense for sure.
So what did that look like last night, Jager? It looked like you had a mindset to give that extra handball to try and take grass when it was there, just a bit more of intent on offense. Is that as simple as it was that led to the score you put up last night?
Yeah, we are quite a high handball team, but we're trying to get some more meters gained from those handballs rather than going back. And at stages throughout last night, we did feed back quite a bit, and then Western Bulldogs, with their pressure, they end up getting a fair bit of territory for them. So we wanted to go out the game, try and go corridor if we could, and drive from there and give our forwards some opportunities from that.
So 24-point winners over the Dogs. Puts Fremantle back in the eight, so starting to get some momentum there at Fremantle. Jager, how are you enjoying the sub rule? Of course, traded, started your career at the Gold Coast, then Hawthorne. Moved up there to Freo with JL. Looks like there's a pretty clear and specific plan for you. How have you embraced that?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a slow start to the season for me. I came into the season with, unfortunately, got a little bit of an injury in our last practice match against Port Adelaide. So been a bit of a slow build. I'm playing a bit of a new role on the wing as well. So plenty of running up and down that wing, which is a bit different to what I'm used to playing as an inside mid. But I just want to be a part of this team. I think we've got a really special group. We've got some exceptional young players who are going to be around for a long time. And as long as they stick together, I think, the sky's the limit for this group. So along with Fifey and Sonny Walters, our roles are, obviously Fifey had a cracking game last night, but our roles are just to make sure those young fellas blossom, and hopefully that takes us to some great places.
It's now a tough midfield for you to crack into, Jager, with the guns that are flying around there, but you're playing an important role filling some positions. You just mentioned that man, Fife. Talk to us about his season and how you saw him last night, because it was vintage Fifey last night.
Yeah, his leadership's been exceptional for us. He's a calm head around the contest. He's been building. He's got some continuity in his body. And his leadership around the group's been exceptional. So it's nice to see him get a lick of the ice cream. I'm sure he'd enjoy playing and getting that much of the footy last night. And back to the 5 year old, he's like a fine wine.
Another young kid that's impressed has been Jeremy Sharp. Sorry, tell us a bit about him.
Yeah, Sharp, he's a WA lad. I think he's pretty happy to be home. And he is just an exceptional runner. He can just run all day long. I think he plays high minutes, almost doesn't come to the bench at all during the game, and just plays on that far side wing. So he's been a great asset for us, and we've needed that running wingman, and he's doing a great job at that.
Now, Jake, we hear you occasionally catch up with a great man, Dale Thomas, who injects a lot of joy to us on a Sunday. How do you go with a great man? Because you seem to be a straight operator, and he likes to bring a lot of colour and entertainment. So, how's your friendship blossomed with DT here?
No, absolutely, mate. We have a good time. I do enjoy a beer I'm just a bit quieter about it than Dave is. not too many people know about it, which I like. I like to keep a bit of a lid on it with that stuff. But no, we have a great time. Our wives now are very good friends, and we've got a good relationship from that. So I enjoy catching up with Daisy all the time, for sure.
Really enjoys his wine, does the Yag.
Does he?
Like straight to the top shelf. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
What sort of stuff? What are you rolling with? Or how high up the shelf? A Grange, or what's your favourite wine?
We're probably not drinking Grange every week, Jake.
what's your favourite chop, mate? What should we give us a recommendation?
What am I? I actually haven't had a glass of wine for a long time. We've had a fair few short breaks, but we're on an 8-day break now, so had a nice glass of wine last night. But we're pretty lucky with the Margaret River region down here. There's a fair few good Chardonnays going around, so any one of those down south is a good drop.
I was a professional footballer. I would find it very hard not to have a sneaky Shiraz on a Tuesday. Did we have a sneaky Shiraz on a Tuesday?
No, never,
Joe?
Never midweek.
Never midweek.
No. I was
never
not so midweek. Sneaky never on a Friday. Don't worry about sneaky. I was not sneaky. It was Friday. It was in public and I got in trouble.
Daisy, you do it publicly, yeah.
Idiot.
All right, Jake. We admire what you're doing over there in the West, mate. Building nicely under JL, as I said, back in the eight and hopefully building towards another finals berth, mate. We're enjoying watching you out there and all the best for the rest of the season.
Awesome, guys. Have a great day.
On you, Yaglet.
Jager O'Meara. It's been the right move, Joey, for Jager, because at Hawthorn, of course, you know, they wanted to go down the youth. Fremantle wanted to build that midfield. Have you thought, you think it was a nice pickup?
Well, he was part of the Lloyd Meek trade, so I think that's a win for Fremantle to get Jager across. And he just fits a role, some experience. A young, really young team. It still goes under the radar, probably where Fremantle's list profile sits. So just to have his experience around the midfield, with, as he said, Fife and Waltz is there. That's just added and complements the young group they've got.
And the day-to-day professionalism as well. Mm. Unbelievable trainer, preparer. Obviously, the rig doesn't happen by chance. He is one of the great trainers, and especially in the off-season as well. I did some running with him. I just sort of jumped in every second one just to help him out a little bit, but he's a freak.
I think he went straight into the leadership group his first year at Fremantle. That's how highly regarded he is.
Could be wrong. Didn't seem rapt with the ring, role, though.
Well, he's just got to, as you said, it's a midfield that's too hard to crack into now. The ring roll that you just mentioned, it's a tough one to crack into. But the midfield is elite, so he's just got to play different sort of roles, half forward, wing, sub, do whatever he needs to do.
But as a ball player, the wing is tough. Because you have to hold width when all your instinct is saying go in there and get the footy. Your role at times is just to stay away from it. So if the opposition win it, they can't transfer it to the outside.
Under prime time, Collingwood and Mick Malthouse 2009, mate. They used to kick it out to you all the time.
Yeah, and stuff that wing roll, Mick. I'm going to get the footy.
All right, very good.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy. Now on the Sunday Rub.
Every gun makes its own tune.
It's the good, the bad, and the ugly from the round so far.
When you have to shoot, shoot, don't talk.
Yes, I like this segment. And we are missing Stevie Johnson today because he's coaching the Pigeons to another country footy premiership. So good luck, Stevie. Joey, you're our glass half full, man. We're going to start with you on the good today.
Oh, the good for me has to be the form of Jeremy Cameron. Right now, you could argue the best player in the competition, which isn't the first time we've said that about him. I think we were saying that about this exact same time 12 months ago. And then he unfortunately got knocked out by his teammate Gary Rowan, hurt his shoulder in that incident, didn't come back the same player. But what he's doing this year, playing higher up the ground, is unbelievable. To kick 5 goals and have 17 disposals yesterday, forget about the game in the wet against Brisbane, but before that against North Melbourne, 6 goals and 21 disposals. The week before that, 2 goals, 4 and 27 disposals. And then round 1 against St Kilda, 2 goals, 3, 21 disposals. And what he's doing, I think, is a challenge for the rest of the competition to work out how to match up on him, how you can stop him, how to combat the role. Chris Scott, the best coach in the league, has unlocked the talent of Jeremy Cameron, and he's proving a headache for all teams in the competition. And there's nothing to suggest that he's going to slow down. Oh, I think it's phenomenal.
Carlton are his bunnies.
He loves Carlton.
Kicked 6-1 against them last year. 25 disposals, 592 metres gained. Absolute bunnies.
He's kicked, 600 goals. Is there any way in the world he could kick 1,000? What is he, 30 years old?
400 more.
Yeah.
Well, he's got to basically kick, 50?
No, that means another 8 years of playing.
For the next 7.
I'll give him 6 years at least to get close to 400.
He's 31, so he'd have to play. Nah, probably not.
Although he still could finish his career as a deep forward once Tom Hawkins moves on and there's still maybe a role for him to go and play out of the goal square. But I think 1,000's out of reach.
Remember the times when he got traded, some people said that the Cats had given up too much for him. Or was it picks 13, 15, 20? You would do that deal every day of the week without even hesitating. I like that from you, Joey. Jeremy Cameron, certainly in very good form. I got the bad. And look, this isn't a shot necessarily aimed at Jai Simkin, right? Maybe I'm going to question more of the use of him. But how on earth is this man gone so far backwards as co-captain of the North Melbourne Football Club? So what is it, over 7 rounds this season? I don't think he's had 20 possessions until this point, or certainly until yesterday. So his form has been well down on the cot. Like, I thought he was a genuine A-grader. He's a dual best and fairest winner, and he's been playing on a half-forward flank when, and I know we bang on about
half-forward flank's the worst spot on the ground.
Mm. Why is that?
Because you don't have the impact. You have 12 to 15 touches, and you might kick 2 goals or you might kick none. That's it. So where he's being played is the issue, not his.
14 touches in the 57-point loss to Adelaide. I just don't know, why has he gone so far backwards? Like, who's taking his time on ball? So Luke Davies, Uniac, big tick. Wardlaw, we know, is a gun. Sheasel's starting to play in there a little bit.
Power they're using. They're using some youngsters in the midfield now to try and find the next wave of midfield talent.
How's he not in the engine room?
Well, there's probably a couple of reasons. There might be a deficiency in his game that the coach doesn't want him in there. So whether it's defensive spread, offensive spread, whatever it may be, or it could simply be the fact that the midfielders they've got don't have the ability to play a decent half-forward role, and he's, as a captain, playing a selfless role that's better for the team. I couldn't agree with you more. As a player, you want to be in the best spot you can be. We saw it a little bit with Stephen Cornelio a couple of years ago. He goes back in the midfield and he's now dominating. Jai Simpkins, a midfielder, bona fide midfielder, maybe spend a little bit of his time forward, but he has to get back in there. And the fact they're getting beat by 58 points starts to have you flummoxed.
26 years of age, he's entering. This should be the second or third year of his prime football. If I was another club, I'd be dangling the carrot that hard at Jai Simpkins. It's not funny. I know his co-captain has been very loyal player to the Kangaroos, signed a long-term contract.
So far you've got rid of Davies, Uniac and Simkin.
In the 1 week.
Who's going to be left at North Melbourne, in your opinion?
I don't understand. Like, every time a club really struggles at the bottom end of the ladder, you go back to the really poor Melbourne sides, the really cool Carlton side that he was a part of, Daisy. Like, we were at the front of Icon Park every day. There were cameras out there, hassling Mick Malthouse, videoing him through the park on his walk. Why isn't the same temperature turned up on North Melbourne? Is it because we don't care? Is there not enough relevance? I think
they're meeting expectation, which is the same.
Yeah,
thing.
I'm not sure. I don't know if I agree with that statement. I think we've all been critical of North Melbourne. I'm not sure what else we could say about North Melbourne at the moment. But what else can we say? They are
flogging
a
dead horse. Effectively.
Yeah, they are a long way off the pace, and they've got a long way to go. Like, I mean, well, yeah, flogging a dead horse is a good point. What else do you say? What would you suggest we do?
I think.
Who do we put the pressure on? We're not putting it on Alistair Clarkson. Well, even though we started to get a little bit last week, we're not putting it on.
Is there going to be more
players.
Chat about the recruiting?
That's fair. That's probably fair.
Will Phillips was subbed out yesterday. They overlooked Logan McDonald, which is a big one at the time. They haven't been able to bring in the mature age talent. Maybe it's a bit glass half empty, but then again, I do have the bad.
Yeah. The Gold Coast win late in the year.
Well, they've won one game of the past 28, and that one win cost them Harley Reid, which seems extraordinary. I don't want to come off too long a run, but
there's enough said right there and then.
My North Melbourne mates are grumpier than they've ever been before. You got the ugly, Daisy. What do you got?
I do. Unfortunately, it's going to be at a new coach in Adam Uze, but more in term, his football club, and it's an unfortunate one. It's not a dig, but the ugly is the amount of injuries they have at the moment. The Richmond Tigers, Lynch, Prestia, Bolter, Gibkus, Ross, Short, Taranto, ooh, chuck in Hopper on the weekend. For them to continue to rock up and be competitive shows that whatever Adam Uze is doing is certainly going to work in the long term. He's got a group that's behind him. He's got a game plan that's competitive without almost a third of their starting lineup. Look, it's ugly, the injury toll, but in a positive, he's coaching well.
Yeah, they almost had no tool forwards on the weekend. It was Lafau was their target inside 50.
Doesn't he look like a player?
Yeah, he competes he does. Yeah, he's got his hands tied behind his back at the moment, Adam Uze, and he's doing a pretty good job getting great effort and probably maximising what they've got considering the talent they're missing.
Is there a universe, Joey and Daisy, where they reconsider the Jacob Hopper, Tim Taranto situations?
Reconsider as in offer him up for trade?
Yep.
Oh,
Is that fanciful or not?
Probably not. I can understand it with where they're at now, but it's he still got 5 years on a deal or 4 years on big money.
So who misread it? Was it Richmond or was it the players?
who misread it.
Yeah.
In terms of they thought they'd bring them in for the ultimate success. They were the missing links.
Yeah. Did Richmond bring them in knowing that they were going to finish second last this year? Or did they think they were going to be much higher than that?
No, of course. They thought they were still going to be trying to be competitive, which we're lauding. We're saying, like, there's an article about Collingwood saying they've said they're not going to go to the bottom and they're going to stay at the top.
Mm.
We've lauded Geelong. We're lauding all these teams. That's probably the right approach because you don't want to go to a full rebuild these days. It takes way too long and probably doesn't work. So at the time, it was probably the right decision. But unfortunately, through circumstance and where they've gone, it's probably been worse than they were hoping that they would be. And they haven't had a chance to show.
You put all those players in the side, they're winning a few more games than they have this season already. They've been competitive for large patches, but just not good enough for long enough. And we've seen that with the best sides. When they lose a couple, it becomes very hard to win.
Prestia, with his soft tissue history, I don't know, they'd be having a conversation about whether he goes on next year. Best and fairest winner in a premiership, that is just about the biggest tip of the hat you can get. Well, we talk a lot about the Brownlows, but if you win a best and fairest in a premiership, like Josh Gibson did at North Melbourne, at Hawthorn, sorry, excuse me, then that is just about climbing the mountain.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M. Rocks footy.
It's always a belter on your Sunday with this crew. It is the best call team in the business, of course. For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M Rocks Footy, it is the Sunday Rub. I am Jay Clark, and I just get very excited when I'm joined by these two gentlemen. We got a fourth stringer who's running a little late, it must be said, as he dashes back from the Channel 9 offices. Of course, I speak of Nathan Brown, so he'll be here soon. But this man, he played for Carlton and Collingwood. You can just go back and check out his YouTube highlights. And he sat on heads, he kicked goals from boundaries. Ross Lyon said he was the best player in the game, and his absolute peak of his powers. It's Dale Thomas. Hello to you, Dale.
Yes, g'day, boys. I tell you what, Jay, I'm loving the fact that you are doing that at the moment. For whatever research purposes it is, and we probably don't need to go into it, a lot of the highlights he's watching for somebody else are coming back to how good I was. So I really appreciate that.
I just like going back through your back catalogue.
Oh, it's all right, isn't it?
Just coincidentally, and you absolutely were just a superstar, Daisy.
Bums on seats.
Oh my God, they loved you. And speaking of love, this man, they would just come for him on the, he would rack him up, contested possessions and tackles, of course, took a few kick-ins, but I think that's overrated, Joey, because you were an absolute superstar too. Hello to you, Lee Montagna.
Yeah, hello, Jay-Z. Yeah, hijacked my chat about the winning an Anzac Day medal, Daisy's comments about the kick-ins, and that took the style of the limelight. But nice of you to step in as the self-appointed vice captain and just take the reins with our skipper just not here to start the show.
It's hard. It's like being a number three.
Me now.
It's hard being a number three batsman because you don't know whether you're going to be in for the third ball of the first over or whether you're going to be in 3 hours later. Hello to you, Nathan Brown.
Good to be here, Jay-Z. Always good to be here.
How was the Sunday footy show? Good one, though? Funny
today?
It was
a good one today. Was it? Yeah. Mediocre was good.
Who'd you rip into?
You might have got in there today.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, I think something about you getting your dates wrong around next homes.
Oh, no.
And Damo sort of corrected you on it, so it was
2019.
It was a funny moment,
than 2022.
It was a good one, yeah.
Any more Captain Obvious stuff like last week?
No, we're all good to go. What are we talking about?
You're the host.
Plenty for you. Go on, Jay.
You've started, mate. Yeah. You've started, so keep going.
Hey, at the end of the year, we hand out all sorts of awards, don't we?
We do.
In the media. And we don't like to always make it about us, but sometimes we do, Brandon, because we've got a lot of good chat about footy coming up. But sometimes we just need to turn the microscope back on. And I'm telling you, what you're about to hear now might make this man the best special comments analyst of the year in 2024. This might be the best call we heard in football this year.
8 of the 9 years, the team that has spiked have actually been a really strong finals team a year or two prior. It's not the teams that haven't played finals. So I can see Geelong being the team that spiked back. And I think at some stage this year, we'll be talking about them in premiership contention.
That's a good call. That's a good call.
Too positive and too complimentary for Triple M. But
geez, it's a good call, though.
Well, as I said, there's a bit of research behind it, Daisy, and generally there's always a team that spikes into the top four from outside the eight, which we know it's happened, I think, 9 of the last 10 years. And what I was getting at was it's always a team that's played finals a year or two before, the team that spikes. It's a team that just has one dip year. So I sort of put my thinking hat on, and there were three teams that fit the bill. It was Fremantle, the Bulldogs and Geelong that fit that bill of being good teams and spiked. And I
Oracle
went,
picking Geelong out of there.
And I went with the Cats. exactly right. So it was just a bit of research. But do you think they're the premiership favourites now, Jay-Z? Or?
I got them level pegging with the Giants, who probably have that explosion and that absolute talent and the run through the midfield, which would be a fascinating tactical battle if GWS came down to Geelong, because you got the Geelong structure and defense and Tom Stewart sweeping versus the Orange Tsunami. How would they, if you had to
beat them down there last year,
who dispatched Brisbane with three of their best players out as well?
They're extraordinary, the Giants. How do you slow that wave? How would you see that playing out, that strategic battle? If that was the grand final and you had to put it in a time capsule round seven, that's what it looks like. Could Chris Scott do it, who Lordo said was the best coach in the Cape, but we heard that last week. How would they do it?
No, I don't know if you could stop it. I don't think you can stop an offensive wave like that. I'm not sure. You have to just bring pressure at an unbelievable level to force them to turn the ball over and cough up handball. So that's probably the only way. And I think at the moment, Brownie, we're not seeing many teams able to do that to the Giants to slow them down.
No, and they are genuinely quick, and they've got players just everywhere. Like even Callahan, who Stevie J told us, watch this kid at the start of last season. I mean, he had 32 disposals, and he's a running machine. Use it well. So they don't have a weakness at the moment, the Giants. I look at them, and maybe injury is the only thing that can get them, but they've got winners on every line.
But if you're going to have to try and stymie that, if a back line or a defensive or a coaching group is going to try and stymie that, the Cats, who are unbeaten after seven rounds, they take on Melbourne this weekend. I think this is the round of the year coming up. It is an extraordinary round. You've got the showdown on Thursday night. Carlton play Collingwood with the traditional rivals on Friday night.
Wow, that's big.
What colours will you be wearing?
Whose home game is it?
Carlton.
Carlton, I'll go to their presence function this week.
On Saturday, you've got the Battle of the Bridge, Sydney versus GWS. You've got North Melbourne versus St Kilda, which I think is fascinating. Melbourne versus Geelong, West Coast Essendon, which could potentially go either way. Then Richmond, Fremantle, Bulldogs, Hawthorn, Brisbane, Gold Coast. It is an absolute humdinger this round. And I absolutely cannot wait for it. But the Cats now undefeated after seven rounds. Patrick Dangerfield, though, is the news item here because it looks like he could be missing for 4 to 5 weeks. It's his second hamstring of the year. You'd think they're going to be incredibly cautious from a football
club. Is that a six-weeker now? When you do a second one, is that 6 weeks? Because at the start of the year, he said they'd changed the way they trained and they're only doing two sessions a week, not three. But the two were really high intensity, a lot more sprinting than previous years.
Which I think is going to hold them in good stead. I think that's allowed them to get to where they are so far this year and probably what's going to give them a chance to win the flag later in the year. So if there's a few casualties, sometimes you have to wear that. Maybe he does do another training block and set himself for the second half of the year like he tried to do last year. But yeah, it's unfortunate for Danger now. He's got that history.
They've learned how to win without him, which is the positive. Mm. So not generally required. When he comes back in, going to give them a boost, star of a player and all of those things. But at the moment, it's not really an issue.
He played
At what point do you tag Jeremy Cameron? Because most clubs just allow him to go up and they drop off and go, okay, we'll set up behind the football. But him and Grime Myers both play a similar role. They're very, very different sizes, obviously. But at what stage do you go, okay, I'm going to do the old-fashioned tag. If you go up to the ball, if you go up to the stoppage or you get behind that stoppage, I'm going to go with you because the damage he does back the other way. And because the game is so frantic at the moment, he loses players. And it's very hard to keep an eye on when you're looking around, going, am I in the right spot? The ball's coming down. You've got to have a look. Where's Jeremy Cameron coming from as well? There's so much to think about to set up properly and then to go to him. Almost you just have to say, I'm going to go home across and I'm not going to allow him to do what he's doing.
It's easier said than done, Brandy, because that sounds good in theory. But if he starts as a forward and then goes up to the midfield and brings a defender with him, all then Geelong need to do is spit a midfielder out of the stoppages and drift forward, and they're going to have no opponent to pick up on because they're going to have 5-on-5. So it's a lot of complexities to it. It's easier said than done. And if it was that easy, teams would do it. But that's the challenge because Chris Scott can manipulate other matchups to get what they want if they decide to do that. So you're right, though. We touched on it on the podcast as well. I spoke about him as my good. He's unstoppable at the moment. The way that he's playing, he's the best player in the competition.
Can you stop him with a winger? Allow the plus one to be there, and if he goes up, you just tell your corridor winger, don't worry about your opponent, we'll keep our halfback looking at him. The winger, your responsibility is Jeremy Cameron anytime he leaves that stoppage.
Good thought. And that seems you're going to have to start thinking about different ways of doing it because you're right, he's cutting teams up.
We talked a lot about Buddy Franklin over his career. There is a bit of Buddy Franklin about what he's doing upfield. He's an extraordinary player. Hey, the rookie draft is coming up. May 29th, you're probably busy.
Mid-season.
What did I say, rookie draft?
Yeah, the mid-season
rookie draft is coming up. on May 29. So you'd be busy, Joey, and we haven't spoken about this, digging to try and find a diamond in the rough, etc. Now, I find this quite amazing, but is there a universe where Isaac Smith, who we'd miss on a Thursday night, could be picked up in the mid-season draft?
Now, straight to Brisbane, you reckon?
He came in, I don't know what club, he came in off a run, and I think he ran...
Back to Geelong?
Maybe. He ran 1K in about 2:45, which is like Olympic trial stuff, right? That's incredibly fast.
When did he do this?
This week.
Right.
I think he did it on Thursday or Friday.
He
Thursday.
Needs to eat more donuts.
Thursday. So we had him in on Triple M on Thursday night. Just try and join the dots on this for me. And his phone is lighting up as we speak, so perhaps someone is already... but you are, because you're staying quite fit, aren't you, Isaac?
Yeah, I am. Well, that'd be silly not to, if they're in the premiership window.
So I just wonder whether there might be a bit of something there, because
Is there any flame flickering at all? Any possibility that you'd come back?
I would say 99% no, unless there was five flags. I always wanted five flags. That was my. Everyone has a goal in footy, and mine was five. And I finished on four, so...
You underachieved.
You just never know.
You know the talent pool, Joey?
That comment is genuine bullshit.
Yeah,
even
what
for
about
Triple
that?
M.
Give us a spell,
even
Isaac.
For Triple M is self-promotion.
You greedy bugger.
Are we shutting this down, or do you think he has the running power and capability to still play at the top level?
Would a club you are in sort of somewhat recruitment opposition.
Yep.
Would you? Would you roll the dice?
Well, he's saying he would only go to a team in premiership contention, so right? So that's Geelong, which clearly won't go back to
the Giants.
The Giants don't need him. Sydney don't need him. Melbourne?
Ooh.
Port Adelaide?
Ooh. Carlton?
Carlton?
Him and Blake Akers on a wing. Oh, okay.
Don't know.
He's
interesting.
35. I think it's an interesting
It's a long
one.
Shot. It but could be worse. There's worse players on the list at some clubs.
No.
The 40 to 40.
No, no,
the 40th, 42nd, 43rd player at every list that probably most people wouldn't even know who they are. You could do worse.
Because you talk about the age and the age profile, and the Cats doing it with the veterans. How are we seeing the lay of the land at Collingwood at the moment? So a month ago, Steel Side Bottom tells Glenn McFarlane at the Herald Sun, you know, of course, I want to play on next season. Jeremy Howe to consider. Brody Mychek. Of course, Scotty Pendlebury will play on if he wants to. How difficult is it, broadly, Daisy, to transition or tap on the shoulder your premiership veteran champions?
I'd imagine from a club point of view, it'd be one of the hardest things you have to go through, because these players are probably still, and when it happens, and we've seen it throughout, are probably good enough to still hold a spot in the side. It's whether or not they're keeping somebody else who needs to get some games under their belt. But the value of leadership of these on field and off field of the older blokes, you can't, well, it's worth its weight in gold. And the fact that a lot of sides, and especially down the bottom, wind up these older players to get kids in and to gift them games, I'm not sure that's the right method. The game should be something that you really value and you earn every one of them, rather than just taking the spot of a bloke because he's old. We're an ageist industry. I don't think you need to wind anyone up. If they're happy to go on with an understanding and a clear direction that, hey, if your form's not good enough, you'll be in the twos. We need you to bring a good attitude. As long as it's open and honest, I think there's a spot for all of the older players to go around at least one more year.
Be incredibly hard, unless if you're Alistair Clarkson, who just likes to get him out the door.
Jordy Lewis still hasn't recovered, I think. How did it play out with you, Daisy?
I was at Tasha's Nonna's funeral, and I got a text from Stephen Silvani saying, what's your address after a list management meeting? I wrote back, the meeting went that well, did it? So he came round and just delivered the bullet, him and Mick Agresta.
Was that expected?
Look, I was pretty content that it was going to be a 50-50 decision. I'd had 14 years in the caper. If you had given me the career that I had at the start of it, I would have taken it. I was pretty realistic of where the group was at, where I was at. Was I playing good enough footy to go around again for another year? Absolutely I was. But was that the best decision for the club going forward? They think not, and it's hard to knock where they are at the minute.
I got a text from Alan Richardson saying, I'm just in the area. Are you home? I might pop in. I thought, hang on, Richo, you live in Warrandyte. I'm in Albert Park. I don't think you just happen to be in the area. You're popping over to come and tell me
Albert
something.
Albert Park must be nice, though.
Tell us about that night when he got you all over for a barbecue when you sat around the fire.
The pizzas.
The pizzas.
Yeah, he ordered 18 pizzas for five blokes.
And, good afternoon to you, Richo. Was that torture? I remember when, because you and Nick both didn't have an answer for your football club.
Yeah.
Was that torturous?
Like Daisy, I sort of knew where it sat. It was 50-50. You hadn't had a contract. They were discussing where it was at with trying to get some games into young players. St Kilda were going through a rebuild. So I always knew it was going to be a 50-50 call. I still thought I could play, and in the end they go a different direction, and that's just the way it is. 95% of players get tapped on the shoulder. Only, I reckon in my time, I've known maybe two players that have retired off their own bat.
Who are they?
Lenny Hayes, I'm pretty sure, was asked if he wanted to play one more year, and he said, no, I'm done. And that might be the only one. I reckon even Robert Harvey, when he was 38, probably wanted to go one more year, and they had to have the conversation and say, Harves, got to finish up at some stage.
You've got to have the conversation with the champions, though, at least a month out for the fans. They need certainty. Don't worry about doing it. Oh, we'll see where we go with the draft and whatnot. The fans, if they do and are to retire, they need a proper send-off. And that is one of the great things about the game, rather than just let them slide off into the distance.
Collingwood's form has been soft, Joey. How are you assessing the lay of the land there? Where have you got the Pies pegged?
Oh, they might play finals. I haven't got them in the top four or five teams at the moment, just because that inconsistency in effort, which you've got to bring week in, week out, at their age and after winning the flag and where they're at, they probably don't have the consistency like they did last year with their effort. Now, they could still get that. I think it might be hard, but they're going to be around the mark.
The number one pressure side the last 3 weeks, and then it was a pretty good game against the Bombers, who were up and about. So the first three games of the season, yeah, a bit inconsistent, but since then they've been pretty solid.
Brownie, do you think they back them all in again? How are you seeing?
Do you think they can win the flag, Collingwood?
Side, bottom.
Well, I think they're still in the conversation, actually. I'm not going to rule Collingwood out at the moment. They're probably, you know, fifth or sixth in the running at the moment, but you know they can get the job done. You know they've got the players and the game plan and the attitude to get it done. Yep. Number one pressure side the last 3 weeks, so why not?
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to the Sunday Rub for McDonald's Room Hot Water, Triple M Rocks Footy. Choice Hotels around the grounds, whatever your reason for travelling. You'll get the lowest price guaranteed when you book direct at choicehotels.com. So go ahead, book it. What's the first game on today, Joey?
Gold Coast, West Coast, which I think will be interesting. You're giving West Coast any chance, Daisy? You just rolled your eyes, none at all.
Not with Harley Reid out. I don't understand why you would rest somebody like that after last week. Just get the momentum going.
Maybe what if you saw?
Got a big picture in mind. But that'd be a good call team. Liam Flanagan, Brett Thomas, Tommy Rockcliffe, isn't he doing the rounds on the socials? Richard Champion, Belinda Mallon.
What's he doing?
Oh, he's posting all these photos with celebs around the Live Golf and then saying they all want photos with him.
A bit of a reverse humor. Gag for Tommy Rockcliffe. Okay, it's time for...
This is Jay-Z's
We touched on the Cats already, undefeated through seven rounds. Joey called the pants off that preseason prediction. Uh-huh. Well done to you, mate. But Vossi, it's fair to say, the coach of the Carlton Football Club, they were outstanding in the clearances. I think they won the first six centre clearances, dominated field territory, the Blues, for the bulk of the game. Had 21 more inside 50s, but it was the sharpness of the Cats in attack led by Jeremy Cameron who got the job done. Michael Voss, this is as grumpy as I've heard him after a loss for some time.
I don't want us to settle that it was a good effort or it was close. It was unacceptable. And we've got to be better. So Geelong is currently top of the ladder, but we'd like to think we benchmark ourselves off our own standards, and we fell below those tonight on defending. You know, like we conceded whatever it was in terms of the score, I can't even know, 118 points, that's just too much. So we scored well, and that was probably entertaining for everybody. So we made it a good game in that way, but we didn't get some important moments right, and we didn't defend when we need to for long enough. And they're a good football team.
So he's been flat on the defence a little bit in the past couple of weeks. Vossi, what's your interpretation of that, Daisy? Do you feel like Carlton has absolutely proven themselves as a top four side, genuine contender this year yet?
Oh, I couldn't love anything more of what he said just then. I couldn't love that anymore. The fact that he said, you know, effectively, this was our chance to make a statement and we fell down in critical areas of the game for critical stages. He knows that. That wasn't lost on him. And I think that's a great message to send to the group and to the fans out there as well, as we consider ourselves a genuine premiership chance this year. They're playing good enough football, but that was the opportunity to make a real statement. So we did take them more seriously. They're in this premiership race at the moment, right up to their eyeballs.
Couldn't agree more. Love the high standards from Michael Voss. He said exactly what you want to hear from a team that think they can win it. They didn't lose any. I didn't lose any respect for Carlton after that performance. I thought it was a really strong performance, the way they played. Now, they just didn't convert their chances. Geelong had one of those days efficiency-wise. Carlton missing three of their best six defenders, missing six of their best team.
Saad McGovern.
You would really be concerned strong, really about the 62% conversion rate, though. They had 21 less inside 50s.
That's an anomaly.
But 21 inside 50s. If you go into any game against any side, 21 less inside 50s, you don't expect to win that game.
That's right. So that's why it's a really strong performance from Carlton. If they play that game again, they'd win that nine times out of 10. So, yes, Geelong off the charts with their efficiency and their ball movement. And Carlton disappointing defensively. There's no one's disagreeing with that. But in regards to the overall picture of the game and the way they played and the chances the Blues had, I think I'll walk away from that thinking Carlton,
it's
absolutely
a positive.
Yeah, if they played them again in a prelim, I'd be tipping Carlton.
Would you really?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I thought they played just as good a footy and missing six of their best.
Bossy knows that you got to play defensive footy to win finals, though, and to go deep. That's why the concerns are there over that scoreline.
The inside 50 numbers, or tackles inside 50, are interesting. Geelong had 24. Carlton had 24. The Cats only had 8.
What's that? The tackles? Yeah, that's just because the way the game was played. It was slingshot, counter-attack, open forward line.
Went into Geelong's half Geelong's, and they scored.
Yeah, but that isn't that... Don't they still put the pressure on in that regard? Like, wouldn't they want more out of that Geelong? Or
no, that's an anomaly because of the way the game was played. Because it went inside Geelong's forward,
and then they scored. Yep.
And Carlton got a lot because of a lot of repeat entries and the amount of ball in their forward half. You get more chance to tackle in there. So, everyone's talking about Carlton defensively, but Geelong just conceded 105 points and conceded 60 entries. So
that's without Tom Stewart, they
wouldn't be pleased. Yeah, and Carlton were missing McGovern, Saad, and Marchbank from their best team. So I thought it was a pretty even
score. It's like asking Joey to tackle the day he had 47. When you got the ball that much, you just don't tackle,
you
do
don't.
You?
No.
Oh, I think we're harsh. So he owns the records for contested possessions and tackles throughout that prime
and
2000.
Which
is interesting. So North Melbourne get touched up again by Adelaide yesterday, 57 points. It was one-way football for the bulk of it. And we did touch on this a little bit earlier, Brownie, but why do you think is North Melbourne – how far under par do you think North Melbourne is going at the moment?
I believe they're rock bottom right now. I think their list profile, though, is better than what it was 4 years ago. So they've only won 2, 3, maybe 4 games in the last 5 seasons. But you look back at their list 4 years ago, and I don't think they've got anywhere near the players that they do now. So those midfielders will take a long time. What they do lack is some big guys. And Nick Larkey's about the only one, but they lack some genuine height in their defensive end. I think these young guys will take shape, but their list profile is better than what it was 4 years ago, but they're at rock bottom right now.
They're going to attack the free agency market, you'd think, hard North Melbourne. They're trying to keep Cameron Zerha to stay with a 5-year deal. I think Luke Davies Uniac is a big watch. He comes out of his contract.
He's contracted next year, though.
Next year, yeah. I think there's going to be some enormous 8-figure offers. So, for Luke Davies,
I look at that, and they've got players in the past who they haven't really needed, North Melbourne, because, okay, let's be relevant. Let's get somebody from another club, and there's been multiple players who've got that footy club. Do they need Cameron Zerha? If they could get a good draft pick for him, a high draft pick, do the Kangaroos right now need Cameron Zerha?
I think they do, in the sense that I've got the numbers in front of me. North Melbourne yesterday had 8 top 10 picks. They had 3 teens picks, and then 3 picks in the 20. So 8 top 10 picks, right? That has got them only so far. So they need some quality and some consistency and maturity. They let go Ben McKay last year. They got in a high draft pick for it. Yes, if Zerha goes and the salary is really high, they could potentially get pick 1 and pick 2 in this year's draft. You look at St Kilda, we had this discussion before, Joey. They've got 1 top 10 pick. So they play this weekend, North Melbourne versus St Kilda. St Kilda, from a list perspective, looks stuck in middle of the road, where North Melbourne has got all the talent you could possibly ask for. So why are they underperforming so much?
Well, it's their senior players. That's what it is for North Melbourne. The difference between them and West Coast at the moment is their senior players aren't good enough to make them competitive. It's like the Giants and the Gold Coast when they started. They had all these top 10 draft picks. They got beaten every week because they were young and they're talented. But you need your senior players to stand up, and unfortunately they just don't have them doing that at the moment.
8 figures.
8 figures for Luke Davies Uniac.
So tens of millions.
$10+ million, I think.
Who's
to
so
try and
how many years?
8, 10. 8 to 10. I think he could get a $1.3 million offer times 8 years.
Well, I'll tell you, well, he's not staying at North if that's the case.
No.
But they would have,
and he's a good player, but he's not worth that.
Technically, they would have the cash to be able to match it. North Melbourne's salary cap isn't exactly bursting. But when you look at St Kilda, who I mentioned, who need to get the free agents in, they've only got 1 top 10 pick who played yesterday. They need his burst, speed and power. Their midfield is it too harsh, Joe, to say St Kilda has a pedestrian?
No, that's fair.
Midfield?
That's fair. They're
a vanilla midfield.
Yeah, compared to the rest of the competition, they're a long way off having star power in there.
He's a Bayside boy, 190 centimetres. He's got the explosiveness. If I was St Kilda, I'd be offering him $10 million, Luke Davies Uniacke. That's over 8 to 10 years. You don't think he's worth that?
If he's staying at North Melbourne, I don't think he's worth that. But to make him leave, you have to obviously pay them overs.
What about Hugh McCluggage? He hasn't signed yet. We're coming up to the mid-season point of the year. If he hasn't signed yet, that suggests to me that Hugh McCluggage is strongly considering leaving.
I'll ask you
leaving.
A question. Would you consider Hugh McCluggage an A-grader?
Yeah, I reckon he's one of the best wingmen in the competition.
One of the best wingmen in the competition. So not even a midfielder, he's a wingman.
He's an A-grade midfielder for mine. Mostly a wingman who can go inside.
So but you're telling me he leaves and Isaac Smith replaces his spot on the wing? Is this the dominoes we're talking about?
Well, this saving themselves about 900. Yeah.
Good player. Good player, but
you don't think he is.
I don't think he's an A-plus guy. I think he's a rung below Bontempelli, Nick Dacos, Lachie Neal, these guys who run through the midfield. I think he's below them.
But so he's a wingman,
I consider
isn't he?
Them A-graders. Well, look, wingmen are midfielders. It's become a specialised role, but I feel like if Lachie Neal doesn't have a big game, Brisbane struggle through the midfield.
Hugh McCluggage, now with Brisbane in 13th with 2 wins for the year, their percentage is under 100. Hugh McCluggage is not going to sign a deal at Brisbane. He's going to hold off and wait to see what mega offers he gets at the end of the year from clubs like Adelaide, Essendon.
Why is he not
Fremantle.
Happy at Brisbane?
Well, he hasn't signed yet. The Brisbane have been trying to re-sign him for months. What's he holding off for?
Cash.
Well, it's certainly going to come.
1.3 a year. Where does that put Luke Davies Uniacke in the top highest paid players?
No, it just makes him just about the highest paid player in the competition.
That's a good chat to have. Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M. Rocks footy. You're listening to the Sunday Rub for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. The Cats, how well are they going at the moment? 7-0, and as we've heard, Joey tipped that at the start of the year. But one player who's been very good for multiple years now and was good again in those first 7 games is Brad Close. He joins us on the Sunday Rub. Brad, thanks very much for joining us. It must be a great place to be part of at the moment, the Cats.
G'day, fellas. Thanks for having me. Yeah, absolutely. When you're winning games, it's always a good feeling around the club. And probably maybe not quite the start we're expecting, but yeah, absolutely, we'll hopefully keep it rolling.
Generally good times then for the last 10 years, Brad, because you continually win more games than you lose. It must be it is a great club. And just tell us a bit about Chris Scott, because we talk about coaching. I think he's the best coach in the league. What's his greatest strength to continually get you guys to play your best footy?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. Not that I've had another coach, but really loved my time under Scotty so far, and I think the rest of the playing group will agree with that as well. But, yeah, I think it's his approach every week. No matter how we've played the week before and no matter who we have coming up, our approach leading in is real focused on that week ahead and how we're going to, get over the top of that next opponent.
You've got front row seats to the Jeremy Cameron show every week. Just how good is the bloke?
Unbelievable. It's very fun to play with. And our forward line at the minute is stacked. Sort of pinch myself to run out alongside blokes like Jeremy and Tommy Hawkins. They make it really fun, which is awesome to play with.
You're part of a trio of 3 elite forwards. You got yourself, Stengel, and also Grind Myers. Would you love to get the Grind Myers role where he rolls up through the midfield, just getting kicks at will, playing on nobody?
He does it too well. I don't think I could steal it off him.
He has positioned himself nicely, though, Closey. Very good mates with Jeremy Cameron. We saw against North Melbourne.
The old bit of waxing.
Just looking after him with a couple of snaggies.
Yeah, I try to look after him if you can feed the big boys early. He actually gave me one back later in the game there, which he actually called for again to get it back to him. So got to be careful.
And you're a big fan of the long sleevers, Brad.
Yeah,
I know we've been talking a bit about Jack Ginnivan, who said he just feels better playing in the long sleeve. Can you tell us where that comes from?
Yeah, I'd say it's a bit similar, a bit of a thing. And growing up down in Mount Gambier and south of South Australia, it's pretty cold, just like down here in Geelong. So it's something I've always done and continue to roll with, unless it's, I think it was a couple of days over 35 that I pulled the short sleeves on.
That was the first time.
That's the benchmark for that. What about you? We obviously know the Cats do such a great job of giving you off-field time and time away from the footy club. How's your golf game going? We see you, Zach Tui, Jezza as well, playing a lot of golf in your spare time. How's it all shaping up? Be close golf, that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, a bit of be close golf. I'll probably get a copped a bit from the boys for playing almost too much, but nah, it's a good release away from footy, and we've got a nice group forming down there on course, and starting to get some content up on YouTube and things like that, so that people can come along and watch with us, and hopefully Daisy will sneak down for a game soon. Ooh. And get him on the channel.
I heard you've been trying to get him on there, Closey. Hey, who is the best? Who's the best cat on the golf course?
Tommy Hawkins had the title for a long time, but Jez is really putting some good rounds in at the minute, and he'll be off scratch in a few weeks, I reckon. So, yeah, he hits it a long way.
Speaking to Brad Close, star small forward for the Geelong Footy Club, can you take us back a step, Brad? How did you set the season up? Because you won the flag in 2022 and then missed the finals last year when Scotty had you back in and you set the scene for this outstanding start to 2024. How did you go about resetting, you know, the game style, the belief? What did you think you were capable of?
Yeah, I think we're all disappointed with how last season ended up, and we look to make the finals and playoff every year. So, a good pre-season. A couple of new coaches have come in, assistant coaches. James Riley's done an amazing job with the forward group, and Kingy's come in with the midfielders, and a bit of a freshen up with new ideas and different things to roll into Scotty's game plan. And I think some of the younger boys have really stood up this year as well, which is great to see.
They certainly have. Tyson Stengel back to his best form. Sam DeConing playing well. What about Paddy Dangerfield? We saw he tweaked his hamstring the second time this year. Is there any update on how he's feeling? Looks like he's going to miss a fair bit of footy, the superstar.
Yeah, I've heard it's just a hammy. I'm not sure exactly how bad. Hopefully not too bad. But, I think he showed in that first half how damaging he was, and we'll definitely miss him the next however long it is, but the VFL had a nice win yesterday, so there's a few boys there knocking on the door, which will get their opportunity, which will be great to see.
If there was a player who should have won the most improved last year, it would have been Zach Guthrie, and he's gone from strength to strength this year to the point where, Closey, I feel like he's an outside chance at the moment to be in an All-Australian squad.
Oh.
Yeah, for sure. He's stuck out of the long time. And this season's really started off really well. And I think it was shown last week when we lost Tommy Stewart. Zach really stood up, and he's just a solid defender that'll give you his all week in, week out. And it's great to have his brother back down there with him yesterday as well.
Be close. Thanks for joining us on the Triple M Sunday Rub. Good luck for the rest of the season.
No worries. Thanks, fellas.
The Cats are flying at the moment, and he is a genuinely good player, isn't he? He just doesn't make a mistake. His defensive pressure's outstanding, and he doesn't miss when he gets his opportunity.
Hardworking. Another one of those bargain pickups that has made Geelong, or helped Geelong stay at the top for the best part of 20 years. They don't necessarily need those high picks. They've found stars. Other way, Tommy Atkins is another one.
All right, let's turn our attention to today's game, because we're about to start Gold Coast up against the West Coast Eagles. Gold Coast were pretty disappointing last week, and as we know, the West Coast Eagles have been outstanding. Where are you seeing this one?
Yeah, look, I know everyone just expects Gold Coast to win. Back at home, they've got a pretty good record, but they're a really young side, Gold Coast. Like, they had five teenagers playing last week. They've got about eight players that have played 25 games or less. It is a young side, and we know they've got some quality players about them. But so do the West Coast Eagles, and I think this midfield battle, I know Harley Reid is not playing, but they haven't been winning just because of Harley Reid. I mean, the form of Elliot Yeo and Tim Kelly and Jake Waterman, and they've still got the key defenders down there. Oh, I expect West Coast to be competitive this afternoon.
It's better for the game if West Coast lose. Then next week, Harley Reid comes in. They're competitive again. The myth, the aura continues to go.
That's all him.
Gold Coast Suns at home for me. I think West Coast can be competitive, but I'd be disappointed in the Gold Coast Suns if they didn't win.
Where do you sit on the resting of a player in his first year like Harley Reid?
I think you have to do it. I was somebody who got rested a couple of times throughout my first year, because you do. You peak, you play some really good games, but then the difference between your best and your worst, the load that he's taken on physically and also mentally, a nice chance to freshen up. Don't want him going to the complete other side of the country. Couldn't be more about it.
What about you?
No, I think it's fine. They're playing the long game with Harley Reid. It's not about this week's game. It's about the next 10 years, and they just got to look after the young fella.
Before we look at the other game, which is the 4 p.m. game, Hawthorn up against Sydney, Lance Franklin's going to be there today, which is great news. You've got some more news around some other players.
Yeah, we know Jack Higgins is on that 3-game suspension for the dangerous tackle in Port Adelaide's Alia. Alia expects St Kilda to challenge that, and we'll try and argue that Alia contributed to the momentum in his own injury. So expect a challenge there. Rowan Marshall's knee injury should be fine, Joey, expecting him to play this weekend against North Melbourne. Thanks for that, Brownie.
That is the timer,
that is
mate.
Time, yes, Brownie. Yeah, Jamari Ugle-Hagan, expect him to come back into the Western Bulldogs side. We haven't spent much time talking about them. It was a good effort from Fremantle. Liber pulled out late with an illness, so expect Tommy Liberatore to be back next week, along with Jamari Ugle-Hagan and Archie Perkins and Matt Guelfi pushing for selection off injuries for the Bombers, so a few returning players in that regard.
Before we get to the other game, I'll ask you a question about the Bombers. Where do you see there's a lot of people willing to write them off? I thought that, as you said before the game the other day, all eyes were on Essendon. Do you see them as a finals chance?
Oh, if they continue to play like they have the last few weeks, yeah, they can sneak into it. I think there's probably two spots, maybe three, still left in that top eight. You expect five or six teams to be a lock. So they're fighting with about five or six other clubs, and I think they can. I was really impressed with the way they played against Collingwood. I thought they're doing a lot right. They're buying into the team defence. We know they've got the talent on offence, and their clearance game is really strong. So for me, it's still a watch because we know Essendon have done this before. They start the year well and then fade away. But if they can continue, they can sneak in the eight.
Geez, Brad Scott's a good coach. Whether it be he's been at North Melbourne and done his best there, now at Essendon with a list that probably is slightly inferior to the real contenders. Yeah, the way he went about that game against Collingwood was sublime, and they were able to execute, and they probably should have won it. In the end, the draw probably flattered the Pies. Just love what he's doing.
As you said, all eyes were on the Bombers. I thought they were fantastic. I love the mix they've got through the midfield. So Durham does a good job. Parrish is not as prolific as what he was. His form's been down a bit, but he was definitely better, particularly the second half. Merritt, I think he's elevated his game. So when you come out and say something like Zach Merritt did, I want to be a better leader, I want to be a better defensive player. It's very easy to say that in the off-season, but then to put it into place, and he's done it on some of the biggest stages over the last 12 months, you've got to take your hat off to Zach Merritt and change his game the way he has.
Yeah, he has. It's been probably 2 or 3 years ago where he's changed. He's become a wonderful leader. He's leading from the front. And he's got them humming in there, and they've got lots of options. Like Archie Perkins, you mentioned Jay-Z coming back. He started the year like a house on fire as a midfielder as well. Jake Stringer going into the centre bounces, I thought was a huge factor in that game. 6 centre clearances and 8 clearances overall with his big body. So Brad Scott's got lots of options he can go to in there.
If they keep winning, Brownie, he's a chance, outside chance to win the Brownlow, Zach Merritt.
Yeah, for sure.
He will poll in there.
He polls well anyway.
Yeah, so he has really firmed in that market.
Jakey Stringer, contract news. So he's obviously been on a one-year contract for the last couple of seasons. Do you feel like, and do you too, is that the right method? Because he looks like he's fit for the first time in a while. Is it a year-by-year contract?
If I'm the club,
we
yeah.
like this, don't we, Joey?
If I'm the club, I'd be offering him 1 year and trying to get him to continue to play for his contract year on year. There's that motivation that exists, that little carrot dangling, but if I'm his management, I think it's fair enough in the form that he's in to ask for two. So then you haggle and probably come to
I'll
some
ask
sort
you a
of
question,
agreement.
Though. Would there be another club out there that would look at Jake Stringer if Essendon don't do a 2-year deal or a 3-year deal and he's only on the 1-year deal to come across, Jake, we want to pay you 3 years, we're going to get you fit. Is there a club out there that would entertain Stringer at the moment?
Yeah, for sure.
You'd be mad not to. Yep. He's a bona fide match winner. He might not be the most consistent player of all time, but he's got X factor that not many have in the competition. If you're the Bombers and you want to let him go for the sake of an extra year, I think it'd be stupid list management.
So where's the fit for him? What club?
I don't think he's leaving. I don't think he's leaving the Bombers. I don't think the Bombers will or allow him to go anywhere.
Yeah. His manager will just use the other clubs as leverage to get what they want out of him to get him to stay.
I think he's happy there, and you've got to take your hat off to the club because, as you said, Brownie, he looks as fit and as sharp as he
and happy too. Brad Scott's done a good job of managing that side. He plays good footy like that.
I don't think Stringer would want to leave Essendon. I think he can see a future there, can maybe get back into the finals this year, if not next year. I think Jake would stay. Maybe it's 1 year with an incentive for a second. If you're playing 18 games, if you're doing all the team things we need and your skin folds, if we're still allowed
top
to measure those.
Top 10 BNF, top 5, all that sort of stuff. Yep.
Skin folds, not allowed to bring that in.
I'd be shocked.
Get out of the cave.
I'd be shocked if he's playing elsewhere next year.
You like that one?
I did like that one. That was pretty good. Well done. And
Jimmy Webster also, Petit can return off at suspension and they play North Melbourne, which you remember was the memory pole axe that Jai Simpkin. Mason Wood back off that injury as well. He's back in selection. the Saints would be happy to have him on a wing. But Jake, Jimmy Webster would be an interesting one if he comes back against the Roos.
And you touched on Jamara. Just to remind us when he is going to be back for the Western Bulldogs.
Yeah, he'll play this weekend. I'm certain of that. So he did the main training session last week for the Western Bulldogs. And I don't think he trained earlier in the week. So Luke Beveridge didn't play him, said he wasn't ready to play in the team. They take on Hawthorn on Sunday. So that's a big game for both clubs. Expect him to be back, and Tommy Liberatore has a sit off that
illness. We haven't touched on the Dogs. What did you make of their performance, Daisy? Because after the big win last week and all the hoopla around the Western Bulldogs, what did you think of last night's effort?
Could they be more Western Bulldogs like?
Inconsistent.
They drew me in. Yeah. They drew me in, and the fact that Bevo tabled with it, I think the word was bounce. We don't really bounce well after a good win. They bounced again all the way out the door to a loss.
Is it a happy club, Jay?
No,
what are you hearing?
Absolutely not.
No.
So what are we hearing?
I don't think it is. Well, I asked the player at the end of last season. I said,
what's the difference between the rumours and the facts?
Well, I think there's been a tension. And I think Luke Beveridge, I mean, I admire him as a coach, but I think it's really clear that there is a section of the playing group who are perhaps possibly a bit frustrated with some of the selection methods. You know, Luke Beveridge is an intense guy.
So outside the main couple, like a Caleb Daniel who's been out of the side, maybe Bailey Dale's been out, who is frustrated?
I don't think you have to be like going to the extremes that everyone's hating on Bevo and that's like to the level. It could just be a few senior players or a few players, a group of players with that little bit of conversation, negative chat around the locker room.
Yeah.
That's the cracks.
It depends on what players, though.
And that's the cracks that start to appear.
The ones that want to win the flag, they'd be frustrated with what we're talking about. Why are we so inconsistent? They'd be asking themselves. And they'd be looking at the coach and saying, why are we getting these performances from the team week in, week out?
Well, because some of their most inconsistent players are their best players. That's been an issue. You know what Ross Lyon used to call them at St Kilda? What, the disaffected players? Do you remember?
No.
The pity party.
The what? The pity party? Yes. Oh, the ones having a little pity party in the corner.
Isn't that what he used to call them?
Yeah.
I think it was something like that, Cody.
Wow. Sounds like you're on the same wavelength, you two.
Yes.
Cody Waitman hurt his elbow last night, so he will be assessed by the Bulldogs. Medical staff could miss some time. I think they'll consider their surgery options potentially. They'll be going through all that. He's hurt the elbow before. So Cody Waitman, who's been a good player, also inconsistent at times. And the Bulldogs, they'd be pulling their hair out just as their fans are in regards to that up and down production that you talked about, Daisy.
No, we haven't got long left, but we are going to discuss the Hawthorn-Sydney game. 4 o'clock today from the MCG. We'll be calling that game.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I think Sydney should get the job done. I can't see the Hawks being good enough to win this one. They have surprised in the past, but I don't have faith in them at the moment.
You want to see the same effort from Hawthorn as you did last week, not just in games where you think you can get yourselves up to win. This should be an opportunity for them to go, right, we're against one of the better sides in the competition. If I'm a Hawthorn fan going to that game, I want to see the pressure, the tackling ferocity that they brought last week, and still taking the game on. Just because you're playing a good better side, don't try and protect the loss. Go out there and try and win. And if that costs you a 10-goal loss, I'd be rather see that than a 5-goal.
Do you have Sydney up with the Giants and Geelong? So they're obviously the two premiership favourites. Where do you see Sydney in that?
No, I don't at the moment. I don't have full trust in Sydney as much as some other teams just yet. For me, it's still sometimes a bit of inconsistency. I've still got slight...
Where's their weakness?
Oh, slight question marks around their key forwards and their key defensive stocks. I think against some of the best teams, it's slightly vulnerable. But they make up for it with their pressure and their midfield and how efficient they are with their ball movement and the way they use the footy.
They're a top six side.
Yep.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M. Rocks League.